Well, we thank the Lord to be here this morning, and we pray that the Lord would bless our time. I'm not apologizing for preaching the wonderful blessings that God gives. Last night, I had in my mind a subject all along. For a month, I've been meditating on it off and on, and so I couldn't sleep in the night, and I got up, and the Lord, I felt like, started giving me and inspiring me with this thought here. I put on this on the board, divine healing, soul and body. So I want to start in Romans 5. Do you know that God's healing is divine? It comes from heaven. Comes from God. It came through Jesus Christ. And he brought it for the good and the help of mankind. And so this morning, I want to read a few verses here. And I got a lot of good out of this that I hadn't thought so much about before on some of it. But it says, wherefore, as by one man, this is 5 and 12 of Romans, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do you know this morning, have you ever wondered why death passed on us? Because Adam sinned? Well, I want us to realize this morning that God remedied that. See, death passed upon all men. Death, spiritual death, physical death, the things that lead to physical death, the sicknesses and things that take people out. You know, those things came because of transgression. And God, who cannot, there's no way to stand in his presence with sin, the Lord gave a remedy for that. And so we drop on down, there's too much to spend a lot of time with each verse. So I'll drop to 15. And it says here, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord didn't just cast us off forever. But by one man, Jesus Christ, and his grace, it is abounded to many. It includes us today. It includes all the things of our life. Is there any part of our life that Jesus is not interested in? Is there any part of our life that he will not heal, that he will not bless, that he will not comfort? There is no part of our life that's outside God's grace. Verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You know that sentence of death that came when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, and it was both spiritual and physical? It came upon us, didn't it? And who can deny it? Who is born that doesn't grow up to start lying or sinning some way? The scripture says that all have sinned. You know what? That's the way it is. We like it or not, that's the way it is. People that are born, they come up and they have that carnal nature within them. They have that carnal being, and they will do the works of the flesh. It takes the grace of one that came by one man. Grace came to us. And healing from all of that ruined our lives. Tell me what sin there is that blesses people's lives. I can't think of one. What sin is there that blesses people's lives? None. And Jesus Christ came that we might be saved from sin, and that we might be delivered, and that we might be delivered from the oppressions of the enemy. I hope our faith is inspired this morning. I want to tell you that He sent His Son to undo what Adam did. And He sent His Son to change that whole course of sin and unrighteousness in our lives, and to give us holiness, to give us the very Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. What is that? It's the very essence, the presence. It is God Himself living within our soul. It changes us, doesn't it? Changes our nature. That's what the Scriptures tell us. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb. How's that going to happen without a change of nature? I don't know any lions you can put with lambs and expect the lamb to live. Not going to happen, is it? But Jesus undid all of that. And He cleansed us. And He changed us. And He wants to live in our lives. And He wants to heal our insufficiencies. He wants to heal those places that the enemy, when we were in sin, or by the very nature of things, came to us from our parents, from the way we were raised, from the things that happened in our lives. Do you know that there's only one? Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is life for us. No longer do we have to be bound under those chains of sin, and no longer do we have to be bound under the chains that Satan puts upon us. And so I want to encourage us this morning, there's life forevermore because of the death of one. Because Jesus Christ, there was only one that was worthy of that, wasn't there? Look through heaven, is there any worthy? No, there's none worthy except one, the Lamb of God. And from the very way back there, there was a lamb sacrificed every year, every family. There was a lamb sacrificed. And what it was doing was it was saying, someday there's going to be a lamb sacrificed that's going to be a lot more meaningful than this. And so this morning, God made a covenant with man. He said, if you'll be my people, and I don't have time to look up every scripture. He said, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. That's a bargain, isn't it? If you'll be my people, I want to tell you, I've found it's a good thing to be one of the people of God. And He said, if you will be, I'll be your God. I'll be that protector, that healer, that changer, that sanctifier. I'll be all of those things to you if you'll be my people. And so let's look a little in the Scriptures. And we're going to go quite a few places this morning. And I pray and ask your prayers that the Lord would make this a blessing. 8 and 16 of Matthew. That's Matthew 8 and 16. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. Do you know there's hope for people that are possessed with devils? There's hope for these evil people that you look in their very eyes and they're evil. They're evil. They're possessed. They do evil and wicked things all the time. That's probably why they got possessed to begin with. They went down that road, most of them. And they brought unto Him, perhaps all of them, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah, the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You know, this morning, a terrible curse had come upon men because of one man's disobedience. And Jesus said here, when He was healing all these that were taken by Satan, all of these that were sick, He healed them. And He said that it might be fulfilled. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. All this morning, I want to tell you something. There is one, Christ Jesus. that bore our infirmities. We don't have to have our head all bowed over for 30 years. We don't have to be one of those that Satan has afflicted forever. I want to tell you, there is a healing in Jesus that's more than we believe sometimes. It's more than we can take in sometimes. He is able to do more than we can ask or think. Folks, I believe this this morning. I believe this. As far as that curse reached, so far did the blessing in Christ reach. I want us to take that in. So far as the curse reached, that's why I like that song that talks about as far as the curse is found. Oh, I'm telling you. Far as the curse is found, wherever on earth, however deep it goes in people's lives, I want to tell you that's how deep and deeper the love and the blessings of the Lord are for you and me in our life. And so we want to take it in this morning. Remember something always. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, both spiritual and physical. He was talking about both here. It's very clear to see. I think about the scripture in John 1 that says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Do you know that that it's not happenstance? It's not that one is chosen and one is not. That is a terrible lie of the enemy. Folks, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I want to tell you, he came that all men might be saved. He died for all of us. And so this morning, we want to take that in. Listen to this over in Acts 2 and 37 and 38. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." 2 and 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.'" And you know, he calls everybody. He reaches to every soul and makes it very plain that he does that. But folks, those that repent and are baptized, and I want to encourage us today that Jesus makes it plain that we're to repent and be baptized. If we repent and we've had, the Lord wants us to have baptism as part of his salvation. It says in Mark 16, he tells us there to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And those that repent and are baptized, how does it say that? Shall be saved. And so this morning, let's remember those things. The Lord wants to give us. Peter tells us, 2 Peter 1 tells us, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." You say, "Well, I'm full of sin. I'm wicked. I do. Repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And then you can follow the Lord all the way. "Great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You know, the Lord has given us, and I pray that we'll hear all the words this morning, the scriptures. You know, the Lord has given us great and precious promises, precious things through the atonement that he has given. Because he bore stripes and was killed and shed his blood and rose again. Do you know that makes all the difference for our lives today? In all these ways, it makes all the difference this morning. And so, It didn't stop with sins being forgiven, but he said he would fill us with his Holy Spirit. It's not going to come in an unclean vessel, but folks, when we give our clean vessel to the Lord, he fills it. But we got to be completely his, and we've got to give ourselves to him. He does that, and it's life-changing. Let's remember, death passed on all men through the transgression of one. But remember that there was an atonement for that sin. And there was only one worthy to do that. And because of his atonement, all those things get reversed now. The one thing that's not going to reverse is that there is a curse put on this body that it's going to die. This body's going to die one day. Acts 3 and 16 says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Do you know here that somebody, this was the gate beautiful, where that beggar was sitting there, and Peter and, who was it, Peter and John, I believe, and he came by and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." I got something to give you. I don't have any money to give you, but I have something to give you. And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Do you know that that happened? Do you know that that really caused some trouble? Because the rulers didn't like that. They were jealous of that, and they were afraid of where things might go. Skipping on down in verse 19, again it says, "Repent." Well, I'll go to 18. "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Now, when Jesus was on the cross, they said to him, or I think he was already on the cross, I'm not sure if he was there yet, "You know, you've saved others, himself he cannot save." Why did Jesus not suffer? I mean, why did he not save himself when he could have? Because he was making an atonement for us. And Jesus suffered. And to Peter, it was so out of character for God that he began to rebuke him. "Lord, you're talking about suffering and dying? No, not on my watch." He had his sword on him and he was ready to use it. "No way, you're not going to suffer." Folks, suffering has always been a part of man's lot. We're going to suffer some. And Jesus, or the scriptures tell us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Is there anything? I've been afflicted. I've been really afflicted several times. And you know what I've seen? I've seen the Lord heal those things. And it's so amazing. How can you not love the Lord when he does those kind of things for you? Do you know this morning? I pray that our faith will be encouraged. I know God deals with everybody different. He deals with every family different. Every person is appointed a different walk in life. Some people have life very easy, it seems. And some people have it difficult from the start. It happens that way. Some people God heals and some he takes home. You know, we know that. But this morning, I don't think that has any negative effect on what we're talking about this morning. The Lord came to deliver us, and we can come to him with assurance that he wants to do that. He wants to give us complete deliverance from Satan's oppressions upon our life, whether that's sin, whether that is a sickness, or whatever. You know, this perfect soundness is available to us too through faith in the name of Jesus and the atonement He made for us. I've come to pray for people now. Lord God, look on the atonement your Son made. Look on the stripes that were on His back. Look on the blood that He shed. Don't look on me. Look on that. And Lord, for Jesus' sake, will you heal this one? And I found that effective. I believe the Lord hears that prayer. And this morning, we want the Lord to get all the glory from things, don't we? Well, I'm going to tell you, we can pray in Jesus' name and know that it was Jesus. Because of His love, He cared for us. Because of His love, He has given us His healing and His help in so many ways, including physical healing this morning. This perfect soundness. In John 7 and 23, it says, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Now that was Jesus saying it there. I made this man every whit whole. Whatever was wrong with him, I just made him completely whole. Do we know that we are under that dispensation today? I want to encourage our faith to take hold of the great and precious promises that Jesus has given us, because as Brother Macmillan told me one time, an old brother at the time, and he told me this is a privilege. That's the way we look at it. That's the way we preach it, and I believe that. We know that the sentence of death, and this is repeating a little bit, because I really trust that the Lord will bring this home to us this morning. Pray for us. We know that the sentence of death is passed on all mankind because of sin. We will pay that physically. Yet there is also a covenant of healing for God's people included in the atonement. In Acts 10 and 38, it tells us here how God anointed Jesus. Of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what Jesus did. Pick up your scriptures, the first gospels where it tells about Jesus. Do you know that just page after page is telling about how he healed people physically? I know it was a witness to what God was doing, but I want to tell you something else. It was just a little pre-work of the atonement through Christ that changed things completely for us. Where God, through Jesus, accepted an atonement for the sins of mankind and all the things that follow from that. In James 5 and 13, you know, I don't know how many churches do this. From what I've found and what people have told me out there, sometimes that want to be anointed, they will come and ask, will you anoint and pray for us? Because we don't know, you know, they don't get anointed and prayed for at their church, or very few times, very little. You know, this morning, this is Scripture. The Lord tells us this through His Word. And in James 5 and 17, or 14, I'm sorry. Start at 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. I want to encourage us today. When Jesus, who is in charge of our life, who has promised to make everything work for our good, when He is in charge of our life, when we become afflicted, I've been there. I experience that from time to time. And it says, let him pray. You know, that's a wonderful thing to do. You know, things like that put us on our knees. There's some things that'll put you on your knees like nothing else. And so He says, pray. Pray. Do you know that there's power in prayer? Do you know that those humbling times can change our life? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Do you know there is a time, the scriptures tell us to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep? And do you know in our lives there is times that we rejoice. It seems like if this day would never end, this would be awesome. I've seen days like that. And I've seen my share of days when I wept. I've seen those days when things were opposite that. And so the scriptures here tell us pray when we're not merry and we're afflicted. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. You see, we get in a very close place when we are afflicted. And we start confessing our faults, don't we? And we start confessing them to God. And then we may confess them to somebody or bodies. You know, this morning, there's a cleaning and a clearing that the fire brings in our lives. And it's meant to be there. And I want to balance this in a minute. It says here, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then it goes on to talk about Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I want to tell you, you can be floating along on this level here, and when you begin to have to pray earnestly and fervently, you change levels, don't you? Your prayers deepen. Your consecration deepens. Your life becomes clearer. It just does. There's a way that those things bring dross to the top that nothing else will. And so the Lord begins to work. And it may be for someone else even that we pray. You know, we find here, and I will say this because I believe there's a balance to the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, we see the example of Paul the Apostle. Now, there's plenty of places in the scriptures where we see God uses sickness or pain to help someone get to heaven. And that's why we use the easiest example is Paul the Apostle here. He uses those things. And folks, I know this isn't popular at all. But I want to share with you this morning, the Lord uses His tools to get us to heaven. I've seen a lot of times when pain, when uncertain future, when problems change somebody's course. And they were high and haughty. And it's not always so. There's many reasons, and I want to make sure we all hear that. There's a lot of reasons the Lord allows affliction or afflicts at times. I can back that up by Scripture. But I want to tell you, as with Job, the Lord allowed that. Why did He allow that? Well, I want to tell you something. In the scope of millions of years, Job suffered for about a dot that I can't see. That's what it is. And God sees it from that perspective. We don't. I want to tell you, God sees things different than we do. What He does see is that He doesn't want our soul to suffer in hell for an eternity or those around us. And so He allows things into our lives to change our course. Why do people have to become immobilized or things like that? You know what? I don't know. Maybe 1,000 different reasons. Maybe for someone else. Maybe for themselves. But God uses all of those things. And so this morning, I want to read to you what Paul said about his situation. in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now I want to tell you, I want to notice what Paul did here. He besought the Lord three times. Now I believe Paul prayed every day about this, probably. So what's he mean three times? Maybe he set aside some time of fasting and praying and asking the Lord, "Lord, is there some, why, what?" And the Lord finally said, "Paul, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." I will admit to you that many times it has been hard for me to bear because I'm an introvert. Everybody that knows me knows that. It's hard for me to get up in front of people. Why did the Lord not call somebody to that? And I used to question that a little more. Why? It would have been so much easier for them. But I want to tell you something. God's the judge of all those things. His strength is made perfect in our weakness many times. And so what we would draw back from, the Lord is putting us right on the line there. Listen to what Paul says. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." I want to ask us this morning, can we in any way relate to this, or do we reject this? Paul said this, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities." He wasn't talking about not having steak when we have plenty. He was talking about necessities. He said, "I take pleasure in necessities. When I really need something and it's not there yet." "In persecutions." I take pleasure in persecutions. "In distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." What does he mean by that? Is this verse strange to us? I want to tell you this morning, this is part of the gospel. Paul said here that he saw these things as the help that God said, "I'm going to take you to heaven by this." That could be strange to us, couldn't it? Because we're people. We don't like distresses. We don't like persecutions. It involved pain. He got hit with rocks. They thought he was dead. They walked off and left him. He gets up and goes to the next town and starts preaching the wonderful news of the gospel. That's what happened. Over and over, he got beat. He got put in prison for years. And yet he writes these kind of things. Let's make sure that we do not refuse the Lord to work in our life. He will never give us too much. And all things will work together for good if we will let it. Many, and I wrote this in my notes, many are the times God uses pain and suffering to shape us into the person he is trying to make us into. I'm persuaded he sends or allows the things into our lives that will get us to heaven. And many times it will be the salvation of others as well. And we already mentioned the story of Job. Do you know this morning, I know these things are not popular. I know they're not always easy to understand. But if we, like God, could see the picture in reality, in the millions of years to come, I think we'd see things different. I think we'd see, I'm going to try my best to get that one to heaven. I'm going to try my best to get those children. I'm going to try my best to bring them all to prayer. I'm going to try my best to get them to thinking. Many times anger comes before repentance, I've seen. I want to tell you something. God works in marvelous and strange ways. And this morning, I want to encourage us to allow God's work in our life. He has given us a covenant, and he said, if you'll be my people, I will be your God. And I want to encourage us this morning not to wiggle out of God's hands, but to allow his work in our life. Search it out. Lord, where are you in this? Where are you? Lord, I need you to help me. It doesn't mean because someone is afflicted by any means that there is something wrong. But I will tell you, God, in all of his amazing wisdom, has allowed things sometimes. And I want to just say this in the middle of this. I'm almost done or not too far. I want to say this. This is in no way trying to look down on I know that we have wrecks. I don't have all those answers. But I want to tell you something. In the middle of all that, God wants our heart to trust in him. And he wants us to come to him. And he wants us to know that I will heal you. I will help you. I believe that. I have seen, and I am not going to boast here or even mention anything, I don't think. But listen, I've seen with my own eyes many times, and I use the word many and I mean it, when the Lord has changed things. The Lord has done that. Just the situation didn't just get better. The Lord did it. And quite a few times right then. Do you know something, folks? God wants to be in our lives. He wants to be our healer. He wants to be our healer of our sins, of our emotional defects and problems and all the things that come from sin. God wants to be the healer of that. And I want to tell you, it doesn't stop there. He wants to heal our bodies as well. Let's give ourselves to him without any, Lord, I just want your will in my life. And that's all. I want to read a few more scriptures here. Romans 8 and 10. Listen to what this says here. And this is kind of maybe changing the subject slightly, but it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. You know what? In the context of what's written here, I believe this means, and this is the way I take it, if Christ be in you, the body has a curse upon it. It's going to die. You're going to die unless Jesus comes first, and I'm going to die. The body is counted as dead, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you know this morning that not only has Christ come to take care of so many things in this life, he's going to make alive our mortal bodies at the end, and we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a glorified body. And we're going to go live with the Lord forever, just like Jesus did. And I take it that that's what that verse means. You know, the Lord is interested. This body has a sentence of death upon it because of sin. Eventually, it's going to die. But I want to tell you, if the Spirit of God lives within us, we're going to have a resurrection of this body, and there's going to be a change, and we're going to go and live with the Lord forevermore. And I want to encourage us today, folks, settle it in your hearts. I'm going to heaven. All I want to know is God's way and his will. Lord, I want you to teach me your ways. And that's where it starts. Lord, I want you to be my God. I want you to be my guide. The pastor, the minister, they cannot tell you every little thing about your life. But I want to tell you who can. The one that we give ourselves completely to without reserve. And when we do that and we humble ourselves and we, as the scripture tells us, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, it's our reasonable service, than folks and we're not conformed to this world, then the Lord will heal us and help us. And He's not partial. And we don't have to be a certain race. We don't have to be a Jew by birth. We just have to be a Jew by spiritual birth this morning. Oh, this morning, I believe God is assuredly still in the business of healing all of our ills. I'm looking at one right back here that used to have so many emotional struggles. I'm sorry to say it publicly, but everybody already knows it. But I want to tell you what God does. He heals those things. God heals those things. I'm looking at people here that I know were some of them sick at times. And the Lord healed them. And I've seen that. And I wasn't always there, folks. So I'm not saying me. I'm saying the Lord does those things. He says, if any man is sick, let him pray. You know what? God hears our prayers too, doesn't He? Each one of us little people. So this morning, let's reach up by faith. Remember what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel or the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, I don't know where you might find yourself in that scripture, but the Lord has anointed, God has anointed Jesus Christ and His Spirit to come down to us today, giving us those liberties and those deliverances and those recoverings of sight. And those, does the Lord still do that? Well, I'll just be honest with you. I have not seen with my own eyes somebody that was completely blind, just completely delivered at a moment. I have not seen that. But I've seen several that had cataracts that the Lord sharpened their eyesight way back up. How did He do that? He's God. I just want to tell you, God is God. Let Him be God in your life. And what you'll find is you'll spend an eternity with Him. And there won't be any end to it of your peace and of the goodness of the Lord. Let's make sure of our calling and election. Let's make it sure. And let's pray and let's seek the Lord and let's find Him. And, you know, it talks about Isaiah there Isaiah. It talks about he prayed. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And the reason He's telling us that at that point is because He's telling us to pray. Your effectual and fervent prayer avails much, He says. Oh, listen, we can pray for one another. When I hear of people getting on the phone and praying together, that makes my heart happy. I want to tell you something. God hears those prayers. He'll heal us. He'll help us in all kinds of needs. So the Lord bless this morning that your life becomes more alive to the things of God and more submitted to Him, and let Him work in the way that He wants to work. Will it bring some pain? I have endured some pain and suffering in my life. But I want to tell you, I have found that the deepest and darkest places are the deepest and darkest foundations of faith I have, or the most enlightened. That's what those things are when God gets done with them, if they're given to Him. We have to give them to Him. You pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.